This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So Trump signed a law into play last year. It was very controversial, called Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, called FOSTA. And basically, websites that we all know, including Craigslist, and there was one that you were surprised that was still around, actually.
Yeah, Backpage.
That they can be held legally liable if their users post ads for prostitution. And that was signed into a law. So, but into the lead up to its passing, the bill was responsible for the closure, as I mentioned, of Craigslist, Backpage, and many others that were seized and shut down by the FBI, which is a pretty extreme thing to do and impacted a lot of people in a positive and negative way, including those in the industry. The bill was intended to fight sex trafficking, but it's had a dangerous impact on sex workers who are actually consensually choosing the profession, because we don't think about this, because there is a big part.
Who doesn't think about this? I think that sex workers, if you're thinking, especially we're an LGBTQ station, that is a huge part of our community. I think people are with the LGBTQ community, we are always very open about sex and we enjoy that. And I think there's a lot of people that go down that role in that line of work because they enjoy it, and they enjoy being free with their bodies, and they don't live with the same standards that society puts on pressures when it comes to, you know, working and being nude and working in the sex industry and all these things.
Totally.
So I think it's always been something that's been a part of the community.
I think it's more something we don't think about because the sex trafficking world, which is very dangerous and a lot of people are fighting against.
Oh, for sure. Women are most definitely the ones that, lose their lives specifically. When it comes to sex working, because that's a lot of times that's what they choose,
and it's how it's
the only thing they have.
Yeah, and how it's intermingled in the sex industry, which is very much celebrated, and people are consensually becoming part of it. So now Georgia Democrat Stacey Abrams is saying sex workers deserve safety and support, which we agree with that. And that includes women who choose to work in the industry, as well as those who are victims of trafficking. So this has brought the whole subject back into the spotlight in many ways. And we want to talk about it here on Let's Go There. We have Elle Stanger, who is actually a sex worker and a podcaster, joining us.
Come on, honey.
To give her personal, insight and experience. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Ryan. Hi, Shira. Did I say your names correctly?
Yes.
No, my name is actually, Beyonce. It just looks like Ryan.
Okay,
stage
that's
name. Him.
Got it. Thank you so much for having me. I want to clarify a couple things really quick, and then please ask your first question. I have been following the impacts of FOSTA SESTA, and I was bracing for this bill to be signed when it was last year. And I have not known of a single positive impact this has had. This has also made trafficking much worse.
That's really good to know. Yeah, we want to talk about it because I think that there could be a superficial layer of it that seems like it's protecting some sort of community.
Oh.
But yeah.
Oh, it's all kinds of stuff.
Well, what did you think when the law was originally passed?
So I was terrified. A lot of us were. The mainstream media never really represents. It never represents sex workers' point of views at all. So we knew this would happen. The Department of Justice actually told the people who started these bills, they said, don't pass this. This will make it harder not only to find victims of actual trafficking, but it will completely remove the freedom of speech aspect we have to the internet.
Hmm.
Because after FOSTA and SESTA, they were two bills, Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act and Stop Enabling Sex Trafficking Act, after they were signed, with bipartisan support, not only did trafficking jump, now it holds platforms liable, so not only Backpage and Craigslist, but things like Instagram and Facebook. So what happens is because these websites now are held liable in case any person who is being trafficked or a minor, which by definition of the law, anyone who is selling sex under 18 is a trafficking victim, all of these people, because at first glance, you can't really necessarily tell if someone's being trafficked or working consensually, these platforms don't want to take the chance. So they're shadow banning people, deleting. I've been deactivated twice by Instagram this year for no reason, because I am an out sex worker. So it made it very difficult for individuals who are consensually working, providing for themselves, their families, you know, upward mobility to themselves, to advertise. I've spoken with people, providers like myself, who have made between 30% less this year to 80% less. Oh, no, it's bad. People are dying.
Well, I guess, I have a question on that as well, because especially with, I feel like people, and you see this on these social media platforms, especially if they are, you know, consensual sex workers and are trying to make a living out here, there's always the other side where people take advantage of that and they're doing, you know, illegal stuff. And I feel like Tumblr was in a very huge case, and that's the reason why they kind of banned, you know, sexual photos or just sexual content. So what is the... What's the middle ground? What is the boundary that everyone can, you know, either be happy and then also take care of the creeps out there?
Yeah.
So what we need is we need to fully, federally and statewide decriminalize consensual sale of sex. Because this way, law enforcement can only focus on people who are actually being coerced, forced, controlled, or are underage. San Francisco alone, in the last year, their trafficking reports jumped 170%.
What?
And let me explain how that happens. So say you're like me, or say you're someone with even less privilege than me. Say that you are someone who is not necessarily, and I am white, slender, able-bodied, I am femme-presenting, so I have a lot of options in terms of being employable, and not only that, but like commercially viable to porn websites. Say, pretend you're someone with even less privilege than me, and you are self-sustaining by advertising your consensual services, whether it's being a sugar baby or a full-service person, and say that you advertise with Instagram.
Also, quick side note, if we could have a meeting after the show where you can teach me how to be a sugar baby, I would love it.
He's interested.
I'm very interested.
So say that you find your clients, whether it's on Facebook or Instagram or Backpage or Craigslist Personals. Any method of communication adults can use, they will use. They will find each other. This way, we as providers can get a feel for what the client looks like, maybe how they talk to us. We can screen them better. We can even check for references. Now that those opportunities are diminished, it is much more likely that a person who comes to me and says, hey, I'm a booking manager. I can get you clients, but you have to give me a portion of your funds, and now you don't get to screen them. This is how people who are consensual workers become trafficking victims, because we have lost control because the government has criminalized our activities.
Wow.
So then couldn't people use that as an excuse? If obviously I believe that, yes, if you're consensually doing this, it should be decriminalized. But then there is, I think it's hard from the outside maybe to see or distinguish between people possibly that are doing this out of their free will and those who aren't, and they can take advantage of that. Is that something that people are saying, Elle?
That is a really, really good question. Yes, it is much more likely to be taken advantage of post-incessa, because, again, the individuals have lost the ability to advertise or screen or communicate with their clients. So I also have a BA in criminology. I studied deviance for a long time, I know.
Okay.
You are a queen.
Thank you. I like you, too. So what I've learned, let's say, for example, where I live in the city of Portland, Oregon, in speaking with the cops, yes, I do that. Yes, it's very intimidating, but again, I'm using my privilege. And so I communicated with the cops and asked them how to currently approach prostitution, social service sex work in the state of Oregon. And they said that they focus on the clients, which is the people buying the sex. Okay, so my clients. So the way that this is harmful, the way that people think this will help, is that it will remove the option for us poor providers to stop victimizing ourselves. But really, it makes criminals out of our clients. And then our clients are like, I just want to be touched by someone. It's been years, you know, like, but I don't want my mugshot and a sex offender history.
Yeah.
So we're really, really removing people's freedom to choose touch. And then what we know about queer youth, trans youth, youth of color that end up getting kicked out of their homes, or they're already living in poverty or cycles of family violence, these are the people who are also more likely to be recruited by pimps to, again, say, I can give you somewhere to live, but you have to go on these dates, and I keep the money or whatever.
So where, yeah, I guess what would be the solution? Should they be bringing together these two worlds? It seems like there's issues and things to deal with in the sex trafficking world, and then separately, possibly in the prostitution sex worker world, is there a way to separate them, or should they be looked at as one thing?
Oh, absolutely. If we decriminalized, not legalized, because that's making it legal to sell sex, and then what happens is government starts regulating on the worker more, maybe like taking a big portion of their earnings or mandating testings, which is a really scary thing for the government to mandate any kind of like hospital medical visit for any of its civilian workers, any of its laborers, especially people who have historically been most marginalized, like sex workers. But if we decriminalize and make it no longer illegal for an adult to trade money for a touch up, again, then law enforcement can only focus on the people who need help, need rescue, and aren't having a choice.
And I have a question. Is this like state by state? Because when I'm thinking about, I guess, and I don't know a lot about like either like sex workers or like prostitution and things like that, you know, it's mm-hmm. legal in Vegas. So is it different there, or like, or does this affect everyone, you know, nationally?
So this is a great question. So different states and different counties will have their biases and how they're impacted by local politics and, you know, social attitudes. In Vegas, it is legal in, I believe, a couple of counties to sell sex, but those counties where it's legal, the brothel is isolated in the desert. So in order to get there, you have to be able to have a car. In order to work there, you probably have to pay out 40% of what you're making anyway. And so what happens is people who are selling survival sex, you know, out of their homes or on the street or wherever they can in hotels, these people are still criminalized because it's only legal to sell sex in these certain counties where these brothels exist, not necessarily in the entire state.
So when someone like Stacey Abrams comes out and says that women, you know, shouldn't put their lives at risk because of sex, whether it's commercial enterprise or human trafficking, and that she wants to create a safe space so that no woman risks her life because of sex, what do you think about a statement like that?
I think that she is operating under good intentions. I think that I've spoken with plenty of other politicians who feel the same way. And they really think they're helping, and they can't understand how someone would want to do such a yucky job. But really, I can think of a lot worse types of work that I wouldn't want to do. So I think there's still
I don't even see it as yucky, because at least you're getting some, honey. I'm up here. It's a desert. It's the Sahara.
Oh, my God. I love you.
I'm just saying. I'm just like, I don't see it as yucky at all. But I think it is. I think if you're, yeah, I think it can be very divisive when you think about, like, what words you say. And, like, Stacey Abrams saying certain words is like, you know, you should, women should not have to put their lives at risk because of sex and all these things, but which is great. I mm-hmm. get what she's saying, but there's a divisiveness mm-hmm. that mm. still makes it kind of, you're looking down at, you know, people doing it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, women shouldn't have to work all day for a minimum wage to support their families because we don't have a living wage in this country. Like, under capitalism, we don't have that much of a choice, really. Yeah. It depends on the individual and their privileges. So, and there's so much good that can be done with the power of touch and healing. And I know this because I've experienced it, and many of my peers have. So I think it's really, if Stacey Abrams wants to improve the lives of sex-working people, minimize trafficking, and make sure that everything is consensual as much as possible, we need resources where sex workers can advertise and can communicate with each other. Because whether it's Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, like, these platforms have been cracking down on not only the sale of sex or commercial sex images or advertising, but people like urologists have a hard time advertising sometimes because their ad might be considered too sexual.
Yeah.
Like at this point.
Well, Elle Stanger, thank you so much for joining us. A lot here to talk about that,
I mean,
even
just
beyond
educational.
This.
I think it was a very educational moment, and I appreciate you for your passion as well. It's
I
incredible.
I appreciate you.
And thank you for sharing your story and thoughts. Elle is a sex worker and podcaster. More coming up.
Wait, what's our podcast?
My podcast, thank you so much, Ryan. It is Sassy Pants, fiance. My podcast is Strange Bedfellows. You can find us all over the place, and I'm on stripperwriter.com.
Love it. There you go, promo. All right, we'll be back with more on Let's Go There with Shira and Ryan on the new Channel Q on your radio and radio.com.